Amen. Well, please take your Bibles, and if you'll turn with me at this time to the book of 1 John in chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. This morning we're starting a new message series on the topic of prayer. And prayer is such an important part of the Christian life. You know, we put a lot of focus on the Bible in the Christian life, and as we should. The Bible is like food for your soul, right? But if the Bible is like food, prayer is like oxygen. And just as in the physical world, you're not going to make it long without food or breathing. In the spiritual world, you're not going to make it at all without the Bible and without prayer. There are so many aspects to prayer, and we'll cover some of them in today's message. But this whole series that we're going to be doing is really focused on one kind of prayer. One kind of prayer. And that is the kind of prayer where we pray for things. Praying for things. Hence the name of the series is Praying For. Praying For. So over the next 6 weeks, we're going to be covering the following topics. Praying for forgiveness. Praying for healing. Praying for victory over sin. Praying for church and family. Praying for the lost, and then praying for missions. And we'll see what the Bible says about each one and how we can grow in our prayer life in praying for these things. But of course, there are so many other things we could be praying for, and that's why we have today's message. Today, we're going to start with just a general introduction to praying for things. What are the general principles God gives us in His Word, really, about praying for anything? So we're going to look at a number of scriptures in the course of our message today. But we're going to start with these two verses from the book of 1 John. So if you'll please stand with me for the reading of God's word now. 1 John chapter 5 and verses 14 and 15. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of Him. This is the Word of God. Let us pray. But dear God, as we begin this series on prayer, we would be remiss if we did not begin with prayer. Lord, speak to our hearts even today and help us to learn from Your Word about prayer. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. So today we're talking about praying for things. Praying for things. Now when you see that word things there, I don't mean praying for things as opposed to praying for people, okay? But when I say praying for things, really things here means anything. It could be praying for people. It could be praying for various needs in your life or various circumstances. Really praying for anything is what we're talking about today. One of the amazing truths of the Christian life is that God, in the Bible, tells us to pray for things. He tells us to ask. Even more, He invites us to ask. And so prayer is a great privilege for the follower of Jesus Christ. But God doesn't just tell us to pray for things in the Bible. God also tells us how to pray for things. God gives us very specific and helpful instructions in His Word on how we should pray for things. And so we're going to look at seven of those instructions this morning. There's a sermon outline in your bulletin. I'd invite you to take that out and follow along. And this is one I would really encourage you to hold on to and to keep after the message today, to put it somewhere where you can keep reviewing it. Because here you'll find some very good and detailed and helpful instructions on how to pray. And as you follow these instructions, I can guarantee you they will help you to grow in your prayer life. They will help you to grow closer to God in this new year. So, seven principles from God's Word on how to pray for things. Let's get started. First of all, it's important to pray with a plan, okay? Pray with a plan. Somebody once said, when you fail to plan, it's the same thing as planning to fail, right? If you don't have some type of plan in place for prayer, you are far less likely to pray on a regular basis. And probably the most important part of this planning is to have a specific time and place set aside for prayer each day. Jesus is a good example for us in this. Jesus had a specific time and place for prayer. We read in Mark chapter 1, verse 35, it says, "Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed." We read in other scriptures that this was Jesus' custom, that he often went off to a place by himself to pray. In this particular instance, we know about what Jesus' day was like before this. He had a very busy day, long day. He probably went to bed exhausted, and yet what did he do? Got up early in the morning, went out to pray. What was Jesus' time and place? His time was early in the morning. His place was a solitary place where he could be uninterrupted. Now, for you or I, you might choose a specific room in your house or a chair. I heard of one young mother. Her time and place was this: on the floor, under a blanket, while her kids played all around her. Okay, that was her specific. She had a plan, right? She had a plan. That's what worked for her. It was the only way she could get some uninterrupted time for prayer. For the past number of years, I've practiced what I like to call my 20-20. Okay, 20 minutes in prayer, followed by 20 minutes in God's Word. And this is how I do it. I get up in the morning, I drink some water, and then I go for a 20-minute prayer walk. I like to pray while walking. And then when I get back to the house, I make myself a hot cup of tea. I'm a tea drinker. And I go and I sit in my favorite chair in the house, and I sip my tea, and I read from God's Word. Now, I pray at other times during the day and week as well, but I like to start each day off with my 20-20. Okay, now catch this. We're in what year now? 2020, right? We're in the year 2020. And if you want to have 2020 spiritual vision this year, you definitely want to pray with a plan. Doesn't have to be the 2020 method. Feel free to use that if you want. But definitely set aside a specific time and place for prayer each day. Remember, if you fail to plan, then you plan to fail. Pray every day. I guarantee you it will change your life. So that's the first part. Pray with a plan. Secondly, pray with balance. As we mentioned earlier, this whole series is about one specific type of prayer, right? Praying for things. But that's not all there is to prayer. There are other types of prayer as well. In fact, I like using the letters ACTS, ACTS. And this isn't original with me. I'm sure you've heard it a lot. But I like using those letters to make sure I'm keeping proper balance in my prayer life. So it works like this. The letter A stands for adoration. Begin your time of prayer with adoration. Praise God for who he is. Praise God for what he has done, for what he's doing, for what he will do. This is a great time to sing songs of praise to the Lord in a spirit of prayer. Psalm 29:2 says, "Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness." Letter A, we begin with adoration. And then the letter C, that stands for confession. Spend some time confessing your sins before the Lord and asking God's forgiveness. Now, we're going to talk more about this next week. Next week is what? Praying for forgiveness. So we're going to talk more about that, about confession. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just. He will forgive us our sins. He will purify us from all unrighteousness." And then we move on to letter T. T stands for thanksgiving. And so spend some time thanking God for his many gifts in your life. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." By the way, thanking God will protect you from the three C's in life. Go, well, that sounds good. What are the three C's in life that I need protecting from, okay? Well, here they are. Ready? Coveting, comparing, and complaining. Coveting, comparing, and complaining. What's coveting? Coveting is when you want what someone else has. What's comparing? Comparing is when you compare what you have with what someone else has. Complaining is when you complain about what you have or what you don't have. And here's the thing. Whenever you find yourself either coveting, comparing, or complaining, that is a sure sign that you are not being thankful. Concentrate on thanking God, and those three C's will take care of themselves. They will go away. You cannot be thankful and practice the three C's at the same time. And then we come to the letter S. S stands for supplications. It's a big fancy word, which means praying for things. Okay, that's what this whole series is about. Praying for things, bringing your various requests before God. James chapter 4, verse 2 says this. James says, you do not have. Why? Because you do not ask God. So if you don't have forgiveness this morning, it's because you didn't ask for it. If you don't have victory over sin, perhaps it's because you haven't asked for it. Many times the reason you don't have something is simply because you did not ask God. So that's the second part about praying for things. Pray with balance. Okay, don't just pray for things, okay? Don't just jump into your prayer and say, dear God, this, 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 and this. Give it to me, right? Don't just pray for things, but pray with balance. Spend time in adoration, confession, thanksgiving. Third part of praying now, praying in Jesus' name. And this one is so important, folks, because you can pray all night and all day long if you want, but if you don't pray in Jesus' name, your prayers are not going anywhere. So what does it mean to pray in Jesus' name? That's real important for us to know, right? Are these just some magic words that you tack on to the end of your prayer to make it work? No. Okay, that's not what it's all about. It means so much more than that. And there's a lot of things that we could say about it. I'm just going to share two of them with you today, what I think are the two most important things about praying in Jesus' name. First of all, it means that you pray with Jesus as your mediator. Praying with Jesus as your mediator. 1 Timothy 2, verses 5 and 6 says this, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all. Now, there are many reasons you need a mediator when you pray. For one thing, God is in heaven. You're on earth. Guess what? You need a mediator. God is infinite. You are finite. Guess what? You need a mediator. Oh, here's a big one. God is holy. You are a sinner. Oh, boy. You need a mediator. Jesus is the perfect mediator. He is the only mediator. Jesus is both God and man. Jesus died on the cross for your sins so that he could stand in the gap between you and God. Once again, we're going to talk more about this next week when we talk about praying for forgiveness. But for now, just know this, that praying in Jesus' name, first of all, means that you're praying with Jesus as your mediator. And then secondly, and this is just as important, praying in Jesus' name means praying with Jesus' authority. Praying with Jesus' authority. Jesus says this in John 16, 23. He says, I tell you the truth, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Here's the thing, when you pray in your own authority, nothing happens because you and I, we really don't have any authority of our own. But when you pray with Jesus' authority in Jesus' name, Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Jesus has plenty of authority. So when you pray in Jesus' name with Jesus' authority, now your prayers are going to be effective. And that leads us to the next part of our prayer, of what prayer is all about, praying for things, which is praying with right motives. Because of this, you cannot pray in Jesus' name if your motives are wrong. Okay, do you understand that? That would be appropriating Jesus' name for your own purposes. And God will not allow that. Now, there's both a positive and a negative side to praying with right motives. Let's take a look at the negative side first. Praying with right motives means that you do not pray with selfish motives. We read this in James 4:3. James warns us, when you ask, he says, you do not receive. Why? Because you ask with wrong motives. You ask that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Let me fill you in on something. God is not real big on selfishness, okay? So if you're praying with selfish motives, you should not expect that God is going to answer your prayers. So that's a negative side. And then on the positive side, praying with right motives means this: praying that God will be glorified. That God will be glorified. When Jesus taught us to pray, right? He gave us the Lord's Prayer. When Jesus taught us to pray, the very first thing he told us we should pray for, Matthew 6:9, Jesus says, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. And when you pray those words, hallowed be your name, what are you praying for? You are praying for God's glory. You're praying that God's name will be honored and glorified first of all. And so when God doesn't seem to be answering your prayers, first thing you do is check your motives. Are you praying selfishly? Because God won't answer that. Or are you praying that God will be glorified? God loves to answer that. And then equally important to praying with right motives is making sure that you are praying according to God's will. Just as you cannot pray in Jesus' name if your motives are wrong, you cannot pray in Jesus' name if you're not praying according to God's will. Think about it. Jesus would never pray anything against God's will, right? So you can't pray in Jesus' name unless you also are praying according to God's will. And so whatever you pray, you need to pray, first of all, for God's will to be done. And interestingly enough, this is the second part of the Lord's Prayer, right? Right after Jesus teaches us, hallowed be your name, verse 10, he goes on, he says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So you pray for God's will to be done, and then you submit your will to God's will. Submit your will to God's will. Jesus set the example for us in this. When he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, we read his prayer in Luke 22:42. He prayed, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. See, we might think we know God's will in a certain situation, but only God really knows. And so when you pray, submit your will to God's will. Not my will, Lord. Your will be done. So let's review a minute here. Pray with a plan. Pray with balance. Pray in Jesus' name. Pray with right motives. Pray according to God's will. And now number 6, pray with faith. Pray with faith. This is another reason why God sometimes doesn't answer our prayers. It's because we're not praying with faith. So let me give you 3 quick instructions from God's word about praying with faith. First of all, approach God with confidence. Approach God with confidence. We read this verse at the beginning of the message today, 1 John 5:14-15. Let me read it to you again. This is the confidence we have in approaching God. that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. When you approach God in Jesus' name, with Jesus as your mediator, asking in Jesus' authority, and you're praying with right motives, and you're praying according to God's will, then folks, you can have every confidence in the world as you approach God in prayer. That's what John is saying here. Now, God's will is revealed to us where? In his word. And that's why it's so important that you know your Bible. That's why we're doing this 2020 Bible reading challenge and encouraging you to be in God's word every day. When you pray according to God's word, you can approach God with confidence, knowing that you are praying for God's will to be done. Amen? Now, there's a flip side to that, okay? That means I can also be confident in approaching God, knowing that if I happen to ask something that's not according to God's will, that God will not give me what I just asked him. You know what? That is so comforting for me to know. Because I don't always know what God's will is. And I might pray for the wrong thing. And you know what? If it's not God's will for me, I don't want it. And neither should you. So that's the first part of praying with faith. We approach God with confidence. Secondly, praying with faith means ask in faith, believing. So important. Ask in faith, believing. James chapter 1 tells us this. James says, when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. Because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. Think about it. It doesn't really make any sense to go and ask God things in prayer if you don't believe he's going to answer. Right? Why do that? Ask in faith, believing. And then the third part of praying with faith is claim God's promises. I love this verse, Psalm 145, 13. It says, the Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving toward all he has made. Did you know there are over 3,000 promises of God in the Bible? And God has never broken a promise yet, and he never will. I want you to think about gift cards for a moment. Maybe you received some gift cards at Christmas this year. Maybe you gave away some gift cards at Christmas this year. I read this week that every year, this is amazing, every year close to $1 billion in gift cards go unclaimed. Every year, $1 billion. Think about that. What a shame. They're just stuck in someone's wallet, or they stick in the bottom of a drawer, they forget about them. These are gift cards they're already paid for. They're just waiting to be used, and so many people just let them go to waste. It's the same thing with God's promises. God's promises are just like those gift cards. God has given you over 3,000 gift cards in the Bible. And you know what? Jesus already paid for every one of them. So don't let them go to waste. Don't let them go unclaimed. Pray with an open Bible, turning God's promises into prayer, and you will see so many remarkable answers to prayer in your life. So that's the sixth part of praying for things this morning. Pray with faith. One more. Number seven, finally, pray with perseverance. And perseverance and faith, these go together. See, sometimes we don't get what we ask for in prayer because we stop short of the goal. We pray lightly or half-heartedly. We give up in prayer because we don't really believe God. God wants you to persevere in prayer. Let me share two scriptures with you. First of all, Matthew 7, Jesus said this, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened." It's interesting, the commands in that prayer could actually be translated this way. Okay, follow along with me here. It could be translated this way. Keep asking and it will be given to you. Keep seeking and you will find. Keep knocking and the door will be open to you. For everyone who keeps asking receives. He who keeps seeking finds. And to him who keeps knocking, the door will be open. And then we read in Luke chapter 18, verse 1, we read this. It says, "Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up." You go, "Oh, what parable is that?" Well, we don't have time to look at it this morning, but he goes on to tell a parable about a woman and an unjust judge, okay? And this woman just keeps coming to this judge with her plea over and over and over again until he finally gets tired of her and he finally gives in to her and he grants her request. Well, what's Jesus' point in this parable? Jesus' point is this, is that God is not an unjust judge. No, God is your loving Father. And so if we know that even an unjust judge will respond to persevering pleas, how much more will your loving God and Father answer your prayers when you come to him in faith, believing? That's the confidence we have in prayer. That's the confidence that helps us to persevere in prayer. God doesn't want you just to ask once and then forget all about it. Perseverance is part of faith. That's why Jesus says we need to keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. We should always pray and never give up. And so God gives us these very clear instructions in his word about praying for things. Pray with a plan. Pray with balance. Pray in Jesus' name. Pray with right motives. Pray according to God's will. Pray with faith. Pray with perseverance. The God of the universe invites you to come to him through his son Jesus and ask him for things in prayer. And people, that is astounding. And so let us not only take advantage of this amazing privilege of prayer, let us also be careful to follow God's instructions so that we might be effective in prayer. Effective for God's glory. Effective for God's kingdom. Effective in prayer for the good of those around us. Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you for your word this morning. There's such good teaching here for us. And Lord, we need this. We need a jump start to our prayers in this new year. So Lord, I pray that we would take your word today and not simply store that away and say, "Good, I learned a lot about prayer today." Lord, it's good to learn about prayer. It's so much better to learn to pray. And so Lord, take these and help us to learn to pray better, to pray better. And Lord, we just pray this over the whole series as we look at specific topics over the upcoming weeks. Oh, Lord Jesus, teach us to pray this year. May it be our best year of prayer yet. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.